One or two points left over from the previous sugya. Hopefully, we have a chance to get ready into the second sugya. Let's just recap for a moment where we left off. Although, the very first sugya had very, very little to do with Gittin, and much, much more to do with the Mishnah of Eretz Yisrael. We pointed out that the Mishnah delineates the borders of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Gittin, because it's important for us to know, again, it's coming from Chutzlaret, that's going to require recitation of Fadi Nechtam and Fadi Nechtam on behalf of the agent, on behalf of the Shaliyah. So it's important for us to know what exactly is Eretz Yisrael, what is Chutzlaret. The problem with the Mishnah was is that the borders that the Mishnah seems to be highlighting are not quite in sync with some of the other borders that we're familiar with, mother sugyas, mother areas of Halacha. We basically had an idea in the Tosas that the borders are not necessarily the same, because even within Eretz Yisrael proper, we know there were Kedusha Rishona, there was Kedusha Shniyah, there was the days of Yoshua, the days of Ezra. And Tosas gave us a whole historical background as to what is Kedush, what's not Kedush. When all the dust settled in the sugya, we seem to have really two different approaches of being shown in. But we claim to be Shitas Atos, so the context of Shitas Rabban about the uniqueness, the significance of Eretz Yisrael, particularly concerning the halachas of living in Eretz Yisrael, or B'nai Eretz Yisrael leaving Eretz Yisrael, or the notion of Chibas Aretz, all of that kind of non-agricultural part of Eretz Yisrael, just how much is that linked to the agriculture? So Shitas Atos seemed to be that the maila, the mitzvah, whatever the nature that mitzvah is, the mitzvah, chibah, slash, living in Eretz Yisrael, all ultimately boils down to mitzvah tlis baretz. It means basically the goal is to get to the place where you can do shvita and trumis, and baishris, and bikurim, and chalam and haTorah, all the wonderful mitzvahs that are associated with that land of Eretz Yisrael. It's to get to that point, that's the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the Ramban understood totally different. Ramban said, no, it's not the same, and the borders are not even the same. And you can have parts of Eretz Yisrael that have Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis the mitzvah of living there, and vis-a-vis Sheba, and all the above, and don't have Trumas, Maaser, Shemitah, etc. So the two are not necessarily the same. So we presented almost like two extremes, that the Shitas HaTos for that living in Eretz Yisrael is to get to the mitzvah of Baretz, and according to Ramban, Zeluchud v'Zeluchud. So there was this tricky Tosfos that we spoke a little bit about at the end of the Shia that tells in the end of the sentence of Subis, which we're not 100% sure if that Tosfos was actually even authentic. There was some Acharonim who questioned whether that was written by the Baal HaTosfos, written by some of the Tamidim about Tosfos. So we're not even 100% sure the authority of that Tosfos, but it's on the page. So we'll talk about it. It's on the page in our Shas. And Tosfos quotes a neighbor, Ben Chaim Cohen. Interestingly, if he pointed out in the last year, he was one of the Baal HaTosfos who actually moved to Eretz Yisrael. So he had what to say about the topic. Ben Chaim Cohen said that the Zman Hazeh, and the Zman Hazeh meant his days, not today, but the Zman Hazeh, his days, where you can't do mitzvah first words anyway, it's just too hard. It was just impossible. Nobody would be able to survive two mitzvahs. That just wasn't happening. Therefore, Ben Chaim Cohen said, there's no real mitzvah to go anyway. If you're not going to be able to perform the mitzvahs, then don't go altogether. And the question is, how do you understand that? So we thought that Ben Chaim Cohen was driving at is the same idea that appears in Atos and Asugya. That the whole thrust of the mitzvah is to get to the mitzvah tlis baretz. So if you're not going to get there, so then you're not really performing the mitzvah altogether. But now I'm going to backpedal a little bit and suggest a little bit of a different understanding what that cryptic Tosfos of Reb Chaim Cohen is saying. It could be that Reb Chaim Cohen is not taking a stand on this question. He's not committing himself to this idea that the mitzvah lador longer merits this role is only for mitzvah tlis baretz. It could be that Ramban's right. It's very possible there's an independent mitzvah, there's one of the type of mitzvahs, the Rabban counted it, the Rabban claims it's a mitzvah of Beri Doros, there's an independent mitzvah living in Israel. Nothing to do with mitzvah tlis baretz. Chaim Cohen is simply telling you that, practically speaking, Is this a good game plan? You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and you're going to perform the wonderful mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, you're going to violate eating food without Yom Tov Ma'aseh. You're going to violate Shvita. You're going to violate 25 different Yisurim of the mitzvah of living in Eretz. So that's what you should be doing. And now, you know, in life, sometimes we have to make sacrifices. We have to break the cheshbon. We have to calculate what's our best strategy for the Hashem. So Chaim Kohen is sitting in the Middle Ages and he's telling the facts. He was well equipped to say the facts in the stand. So he's telling you, these are the facts, and no pun intended, these are the facts of the ground. You're not going to observe the mitzvah. It's just not going to happen. There's no food, and there's no shvita, and another. So you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and do X, Y, and Z that's wrong, and you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Is that right? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? So we're supposed to be doing mitzvahs on a whole. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. Sometimes you have to be chesed one for another. So yeah, obviously, this Reb Chaim Kohen, the particulars of this Reb Chaim Kohen are not relevant for us. We pointed out already. You can go to Eretz Yisrael today and fulfill Tshuva, Ma'aseh Shvita, without too much difficulty. If you're a farmer, Shvita may be hard. The Shvita is pretty hard for the farmer, not all that hard for consumers. In Eretz Yisrael today, it's not that hard to observe, quote unquote, the Shvita today. But Chaim Kohen's telling you the reality on the ground is it's very, very hard. It was impossible, not just hard, it was impossible to do properly. And therefore, it's making a cheshbon to say that, remember the original context of the statement was, the husband says, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the wife says, I don't want to, or vice versa. So whereas, if it's possible to go to Eretz Yisrael and do everything Kadasa Chabin, so the person who's demanding to go to Eretz Yisrael is the upper hand in that Dintara. But B'zman HaZeh says, it's not practical. The wife's going to say, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to plastic to Eretz Yisrael. And the husband says, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to violate all the Dini HaTorah. So that doesn't make any sense. That's what Chaim Kohen said. He wasn't talking about what the nature of the mitzvah is or no. He was just simply telling you practically on the ground. It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's so, quote unquote, his day, the days of the Crusaders. So again, one can understand the Chaim Kohen in one of two ways. One last Nakuda before we move on to our sugya. We presented Shikas HaTosas as such that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael and the Chikas HaAretz and all of the milas of Eretz Yisrael are very, very much linked to the mitzvahs Hatluyas Baretz. So if you look really carefully at Tosas didn't exactly say that. What Tosas says is as follows. The borders that govern mitzvahs Hatluyas Baretz, namely Kedusha Shvia, Kedusha of Ezra, which is the real Kedusha of Zman HaZeh, because Kedusha of Yeshua was negated once Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so Kedusha Yishona ceased to exist. It's Kedusha Shnia that continues, even post the days of Chulam Ba'asheni, for whatever reason. So Tosas said, it's Kedusha Shnia that carries the day. Those are the borders of Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis living in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the borders of Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis Chivas Aretz. And therefore, if you're eastern than Rechem, or northern than Akko, or you're more south than Ashkelon, where those cities are today, so says Tosas, you're basically out of Eretz Yisrael. That was basically what Tosas said. That the borders that define Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of Tafshin Pei Beis are the borders of Kedusha Shnia. So we thought, oh, what Tosfos means like this. Because those happen to be the areas where the mitzvah Tluyos Baretz apply, it must be that Tosfos is saying living in Eretz Yisrael is for the mitzvah Tluyos Baretz. Tosfos didn't say that. It could be what Tosfos said is as follows. It's not the mitzvah Tluyos Baretz per se, but the existence of the mitzvah Tluyos Baretz is not the reason for the mitzvah of living there. That's the truth. How do you know how to measure whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or not? So the answer is, if there's truth, it's Meister, Shmita, Bikurim, etc., 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 then you know you're in Eretz Yisrael. If there's no truth, it's Meister, Shmita, Bikurim, etc., then you know you're in Chutz Laretz. So it's not that Tosfos is ever meant to say, the only goal, the only purpose, the whole Tachlis HaMitzvah is to get to the mitzvah of Tluyos Baretz. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. How do you define Eretz Yisrael? What makes this place Eretz Yisrael and this place that is? How do you gauge? How do you measure? What barometer do you use to measure? Are you in Eretz Yisrael or not? The answer is very simple. If there are mitzvahs, if there are mitzvah plays barracks, then you know for a fact you're in Eretz Yisrael. If you're eastern than Rechem, and southern than Ashkelon, and northern than Akko, where there's no chumas, Maaseh Shvit, etc., then you know that you're not in Eretz Yisrael. So when all Hakol Miko called the entire sugya, so it's on this daf, at the base of an alchus that is gitten that we should have discussed the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the relationship of living in Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis the mitzvahs. The Ramban clearly differentiates between the two. The Ramban is explicit that the two are not connected. You can have areas on the ground that are not Eretz Yisrael for Trumas, Maaseh, Shvita, And yet they are Eretz Yisrael for chiba, for living, for mitzvah, for Eretz, etc. According to Rabban, it's clear that way. According to the Tosas in our sugya, not as clear. According to Rabbi Chaim Cohen, also not so clear. One could argue that the definition of Eretz Yisrael is slightly different. So again, these are just the overview in terms of the sugya of Eretz Yisrael as it started out in Uchos Gittin, but again, took on a life in and of itself. So that was just the shirai in the previous sugya. Now I'm trying to see if we get started in the sugya. So the sugya today, I guess it's a little bit more Gittin than the last sugya. It's not quite Gittin proper. Don't worry, there's going to be plenty of Gittin itself by the end of the year. So hopefully, we have many, many quote-unquote Gittin sugyas. But Kachi Dakash Torah, very often, the Teroim, the Amoroim, you know, put different things in different places and kind of the sugyas develop and we show them discuss certain things, even though they're not Gittin per se. But this sugya at least begins with Maseches Gittin. It starts with the opposite of everything we've been talking about. Everything we've been talking about, both in terms of the Iyum Shirim and the Kedushin Shirim, have been about the Nevi Get, the Mgina Sayyam, the Get that's coming from Chutz La'aretz. So how do you rectify any concerns before Nechtam? But in contrast to the Get that's coming from Chutz La'aretz, on the first of the Marmakamos, so the Mishnah tells us at the very end of the Mishnah, Nevi Get Eretz Yisrael. What if the get is coming from Eretz Yisrael? It's Eretz Yisrael Choladeus. The get's coming from Yerushalayim. It's coming from Beit Meir. It's coming from Tel Aviv. It's not Rekem. It's not Akko. It's not half in the city. Out of it. It's Eretz Yisrael Choladeus. What do you do? There is no need to say B'fayinechta. The reason being that both reasons don't apply. Rabba's reason of we're afraid maybe it wasn't written in Lishma, but the different Eretz Yisrael were more knowledgeable. And the second reason, that maybe there won't be any witnesses to authenticize the signatures to prove that these are the correct signatures in case there's a question to get in the future. And Eretz Yisrael, it'll be easy to find people. Why? Mark explains, in the olden days in Eretz Yisrael, there was Aliyah LaRegel. People traveled more within Eretz Yisrael. People were able to had more connections. Even after the Churban, there was a little bit more traveling. They did them in the yeshivas. It was enough for whatever reason the logistical issues were. Chutzpah had much, much more of an issue. Eretz Yisrael had much, much less of an issue. And therefore, maybe get Eretz Yisrael, Chazal were not concerned. If you have a problem, we'll deal with the problem in the future. And what is that problem that we're going to deal with? The Yeshua of Orim, if somebody comes to question the get at a later point, somebody comes into Beis Din 6 months from now and says, that get was a forgery. Who is that person? Who is this phantom Orim? The Gemara explains, it's none other than the husband himself. The husband is going to come, Shpatzir to Beis Din, and he's going to say, wait a second. That shaliach brought a get to my wife, and she thinks she's divorced. What are you talking about? Look at those signatures. It's clearly a forgery. What are we going to do? So Mishnah's no problem. This guy in the chesma. We'll do what's called kibush naros. We'll look around, we'll scrounge around, and we'll find two witnesses who recognize the signatures. They'll be mekayin the signatures. And once we do kibush naros, then the game's over. Then the husband can no longer claim that it's a forgery. So basically what the Mishnah tells us is, in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to be concerned this is going to happen. And if by a fluke it does happen, we'll deal with the problem when it arises. We'll do what's called Kiyum Shtaros. So Kums tells us on the second of the Rabbi Kamos, and makes a very, very simple observation on the Lashon of Mishnah. The Nieshlav Orin Yiskai B'choslav. If a Kozman, the Lo'osi Ba'alam Ha'arer, what if the husband hasn't come yet? The shaliach walks in the Beis Din with the supposed get from Eretz Yisrael. The Beis Din is looking at it. Seems to be okay. Everything seems to be up to par. You don't have to say b'fayinechta. We're not going to question this get. The last thing on our agenda is to throw a curveball to this get and say, wait a second. How do we know this get is authentic? It says, Kozman lo'osi ba'alam ha'arer, nisapi again. So it's clear from the Mishnah that in Yesh Lavar, if and when the husband fetches later on, we'll have to deal with his fetching. But if he doesn't come forward to question the get, we're not going to question the get, and we're going to let her get married based on this get. Velo ta'aminan mezuyaf. And we are not going to be towing that this get is mezuyaf, that this get is a forgery. Now, why would one have even thought that we should do such a silly thing? A fellow walks into the basement, looks like a nice guy. He's got to get two witnesses on it. So Bali Tosis is sitting in and philosophizing, ooh, should we make trouble or not? Should we stir up the pot or not? Hey, why in the world should we stir up the pot? So Tosfos already has their eyes and they're about to tell us about a very, very similar kind of halacha. Let's leave out Gittin for a moment. Let's go back to the world of Mitzia, of Tzubis, the Shtari Mamam. I walk into Beis Din with a document that says, Reuven owes me $100,000. Reuven happens not to be around right now, and he's actually not planning going back for a long time. And I come to the Beis Din and I say, I would like to be reimbursed. So they say, well, Reuven's not in town. I said, I don't care Reuven's in town. I want to be reimbursed. Shmita is coming around. I want to be reimbursed. I have a right to be reimbursed. It could be parecho shalom b'fnei halobe. The lobe is not around. The lobe has property. So I come to the base. I got a star chov. Witness is signed at the bottom. $100,000. I want to be reimbursed. Go take away his property. Give it to me. What's Bezin's next line at that point? So it seems pretty clear from the several gemaras, and Tosfos is going to address those sugyas in a moment. It seems pretty clear that Beis Din doesn't act just like that. Beis Din does the following. Beis Din makes the following calculation. What if Reuven was here? If I would come in front of Reuven, I'd say, Reuven, you owe me $100,000. What could Reuven say at that point? What would be Reuven's best line of defense? I have a shtar, I have a document that says you owe me $100,000. Reuven's best line of defense at that point would be, the document is a forgery. It was never signed properly. I never borrowed $100,000 from you. The document is mezuyah. Mezuyah means it's a forgery. Reuven has a right to say that. Reuven has the schus to say, Taidas Bezuyov. Now what's Bezin's next line? So Bezin turns around to the supposed Malvin. The guy was yelling and screaming, a forgery? What are you kidding? It's an authentic star. So Bezin says, okay, could be. Prove it. Go do what's called, everybody say, Kiyum Shtaros. Go find witnesses who recognize the witnesses that are signed on the bottom. Or go find some other kinds of, you know, documents that we've already confirmed in the past that the signatures match. All you have to do is what's called Kiyum Shtar. So this is Dini Mamnus ABC. This is the standard protocol when you have Dini Mamnus of this nature. Someone comes with a Shtar Chov, so the other party has the right to say Bezuyev, which puts the onus of proof on the Baal HaShtar, the owner of the Shtar, to prove that the Eidim are Mekuyamim. And he performs the Dinim of Kiyum Shtar. The Mishnah is explicitly in the second paragraph of Masechet Ksuvos. And if and when he passes the test of Kiyum Shtar, then he collects his money. So now, the halacha happens to be, what if the other party is not around? Reuven's not here to claim Mezuyah. So here, I'm walking around with this Shtar, only $100,000, and Reuven's not around. Reuven's not coming back. He's in Medina Siyam for the next 10 years. Now what? Who's going to tie the Mezuyah? Who's going to yell Mezuyah? Who's going to represent the interest of Reuven? So comes the halacha, the pashtus. I say the pashtus, Tosfos is going to have it all about this in a moment. But the pashtus, we plug in the following halacha. There's a sugi in the third Bekah of Bava Basra that teaches us what's called ta'aninon. Ta'aninon blush and rabbi means that when there's a deep Torah between Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven can't tie. He doesn't have the ability to present his claims properly. Why not? For multiple reasons. One reason is he's not here. He's in Medina Sayam somewhere. Number two, Reuven may be under the age of a mitzvah. He may be a kotan, maybe a yosom. Or it's possible, even if he's over the age of a mitzvah, he may not know exactly what his father's dealings were. So we may have to represent him. We may have to step up to the plate in his behalf. But there may be a whole array of other reasons why Reuven legitimately doesn't really know what to say. So how does the Din Torah proceed in Dini Mamnus under those circumstances? On the one hand, I'm the tough guy, I'm the aggressor, I got this big star against you, and you're standing there in Beis Din, or you're not standing there in Beis Din, with your mouth open, yeah. Literally your mouth is closed, your mouth is open and wondering, what are you doing? What are you going to say? So here the Mishnah tells me, from the Basra, Psach Picha Le'ilem, the Pasuk says, we have to open up the mouth of those who cannot speak. Namely, we as Beis Din have to do something a little bit out of character. What would the role of Beis Din is to judge? It's supposed to be, you know, objective judges in a case. But every once in a while, the judges almost have to wear a little bit the hat of the lawyers as well. And we don't like to do that. The Mishnah says in Brigiyavas, Atas Asmok, okay, I tell you, the judge is not really supposed to be supporting a side of one case. But what do we do? It's Lay's Brayer, no choice. So we as Beis Din are going to ascend, go up to bat, and we're going to turn around to the person who has the shtar and say, prove that the shtar is valid. Go do Kiyum Shtaros. Isn't the Baal Din himself, if he would have been here, if he could have expressed that concern, he would have been believed to insist on the other fellow doing Kiyum Shtaros. We as Beis Din are going to act on his behalf, And that principle in Halacha, Psach Picha Le'ilay, based on acting on behalf of the Baal Din who cannot act because he's not here or he's too young or he doesn't know what's going on, that principle in Halacha is called Ta'aninan. We are towing, Lashon Rabbim, we are towing in his behalf. So Tosfos begins now to make the following calculations. There's a get that just presented in Beis Din. That get that's presented in Beis Din is basically coming against the husband. It's coming to take, to break up the marriage. It's coming to take away, so to speak, his wife, away from him. The Tosfos says, wait a second, let's think for a moment. A shaliach walks into Beis Din with his get. The husband's nowhere around. If the husband would have been here, he would have been able to claim Mizuyev. He would have had that ability to claim Mizuyev, and he would have insisted on Kiyum Shoros. Not all that different than the Shtar and Didi Mamunas. So Gitti and Mamunas are not all that different in this respect. The Tosfos has the following observation. Wait a second. If the husband would have been here, he would have claimed Mizuyev, or he could have claimed Mizuyev. The husband's not here. The husband's in another part of the Didi Mamunas. He's not around. Why don't we step up to the plate? We should step up to the plate. Based on the halachic principles, ta'aninan, let's say ta'aninan on behalf of the husband, and turn around to the shliach and say, make a taste of this good get. How do you know it's a good get? Maybe it's a forgery. Go prove it, and we should insist on kiyum shtaros. He says, tells us, that's what the did should have been, based on everything we just spoke about, based on the rules of ta'aninan, based on ta'aninan as they play out in didim amunus, the identical rules should have played out in terms of gittin. And just as we make the malveh, supposed malveh, the Kayim Ishtar, we should force the Shaliach to be Kayim to get as well. That's what the din should have been. But Tosfos observes, but it's not. Because the Mishnah says clearly it's not. Because the Mishnah says, if and when the husband shows up and causes trouble, then we're going to do Kiyum Shtaros. Implying that before the husband shows up and stirs the pot, nobody's doing Kiyum Shtaros. Nobody cares. Nobody's questioning this get. We're letting this woman marry. The woman's get married. She's married for 10 years. Now the husband comes Baruch Abu and causes trouble. So says to us, what happened to Taninan? The same way we do Taninan and Didi Mamunas, why don't we do Taninan over here? That tells us this question.
So, isn't that
key? No, but this is Meretz Yisrael. That's the whole chapter. This is the maybe get Meretz Yisrael. So Meretz Yisrael, there never was a Takan to say B'fai Nechtav, so the Takan was no Kiyum Shtaros. How can, basically tells us question is, how can you let this woman get married knowing full well there was no Kiyum Shtaros, knowing full well that the husband's not around, why don't we step up to the plate and Tanina, that's Mizuyev. That's also
the question. Because it has the other aspect, mom host, and this also.
Well, oh, so that's a loaded question. He's already starting with the Ran. The Ran is like by a Malcolm number 8 or something. We got a long way to go. The Ran's going to be the one who's going to differentiate between mom and this person. But Tosfos is assuming it's all the same thing.
It's even worse because it's almost like it would be doing the wife a favor to make them.
Kiyum is much safer. It's much, much safer, right?
She gets married, she shows up.
That's right. So we have a lot, there are a lot of good reasons why we should say Taninan. We should equate it to Mamunas, and maybe correctly, maybe it's even better than Mamunas. So Tosfos's job is just to observe. So Tosfos has just been an observation in the Mishnah. Clearly, this is not what we're doing. Because the Mishnah says, in Yesh Lavayrin, i.e., pre-Orin, no one's asking for a Kiyum Shtaros. So Tosfos wants to know why not? Man ishtar and this from a regular shtar. So Tosfos go back to the second of Mamadonis. About Chosman to Osi Balam Ara and Nisapi again. Below Tanin Mizuyev. Why? So Tosfos says the answer to this riddle is what's the reason why we don't say Taninan? The Mishum Iguna Akilu Barabanon. It must be that this is part of a whole approach towards Gittin that we don't want to possibly Gittin so fast. The last thing you want to do is make life more difficult for the woman. If we're going to insist on Ta'anina Nezuyah, that's going to add a whole other burden on the woman. It may take months, may take years. She may never get successful to do Kiyum Shtaros, and we're going to be in a pickle. So the info says, we're not going to run so fast to do Ta'anina on a get, because in our back of our mind, we have that concern of, you should be Guna Akila Barba. I've all been Mama, says Tosfos. If a similar kind of a case would show up in Mama, namely, Reuben walks in with the shtar saying somebody owes him $1,000. Tanina Mizuyev. We're not going to do the same Mizuyev. We'll go up to the bat, we'll go up to the plate, and we'll say Mizuyev. The nifash led the fun of. If you want to collect from somebody and the other person's not here, ume yisomim. Or if you want to collect from the person's yisomim, so the yisomim, they're heirs to the estate, they don't even know what the taina, ume lekuchos. or let's say I want to collect money from you. You already sold off your property to somebody else. If you're not around, we're going to go after your property, your karka that you sold. So the kuklos have no idea whether the shtar is good or not. So we're going to go up to bat, and we're going to say mezuyah. Why do we do this? What is this based on? Why in the world do we go up to bat on behalf of the other person and scream and yell mezuyah? The imloy came, if not. If you're going to tell me that the halacha is not like we just observed, you're going to say that, no, there's no such thing as tanin and mezuyah. Lo shaftes chai l'choberia. Tell us this is our proof to you that there must be a principle called tanin and mezuyah. The proof is not from a Mishnah, not from a Gemara, not from a source per se. It tells us the proof positive that tanin and mezuyah is something that we use in halacha. Is Tosfos says, if not, if you're going to argue with us, you're going to create a situation where it is impossible for anyone to function. Lo shaftes chai l'choberia is a phrase in Chazal. It means the halacha is going to be in such a way that's going to make life impossible. What's the impossibility? You just opened up the door for such corruption. I would like to get $10,000. So what do I do? Very simple. I hire a guy to sign a forgery, a document. Who's going to stop me? Now, normally who's going to stop me is, I'm going to bring the document to a basement. I'm going to say, I'd like to collect from you. You're going to start screaming, yelling, and zooey for to find out. I don't know who you are. So I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to go to you. I'm gonna go when you're out of town. I'm going to come, shalom afanav. I'm going to wait till after you die. I'll go to your children. I'll go to your lekuchas. I'll go to people who bought your property. I'll do all kinds of ways to consume. I'm going to take this case to court in a way that you are not around to counterclaim mezuyah, and I'll pocket the money. I'll win. Beis Din's not going to say mezuyah, right? Says Tosfos. Obviously, they have to say mezuyah. If Beis Din doesn't offer that kind of mezuyah, you're opening up the door to an unbelievable breakdown in the system of dishonesty. That's the Raya of Tosfos. Fascinating, right? You can lo shavkes chayim choberia. No one can live anymore. No one can survive. You always have to be afraid that this kind of kunsip are going to take place. So Tosfos says we are fairly comfortable with applying the principle of Tanina and Mezuyah in Dinim Mamonos. We think that's the din. In Gittin, the Mishnah says it's clearly not. As I state in the Mishnah, that in Yeshlev Oren, prior to Oren, nobody say Mezuyah for the get. Why the difference? But Tosfos thinking, you're thinking, what theory did they come up with? The answer is Mishuminguna Akila Barabanon. So Tosfos, they just read the Mishnah. I read the same Mishnah. I didn't say any of this. That's what talks about bigger. They're smarter than us. So the Baal Tosfos read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yeshiva Oren is Kaim Mechalzbav. Prior to that, no. By Mamonos, of course. What's the difference? Iguda, not Iguda. That's the whole razzle dazzle of Tosfos. And then Tosfos continues a little bit past the bold princess for Tosfos says, you know what? We're not sure. And then they go on to 45 line, explain to why they're not sure everything they just said is right. It could be, says Tosfos, maybe we don't say Tanina Mezuyah. Maybe we'll say the innocent bystanders in another way. We'll figure out another Tanina, another something. But Tanina Mezuyah, maybe is not something that sits well with us. The problem with Tosfos is that they never explained to you why they're hesitating. Why are the Baal Tosfos getting cold feet? They came up with this grandiose plan saying that we're going to say Mezuyah by Dinim Mamonos. Yeah, we're all ready to Mezuyah. Maybe not. And maybe we'll protect the innocent bystanders in another way. And Tosfos explains to you in 55 what the other way is. What's wrong with Tanina and Mezuyah? The parish of Tanina exists. The Bishop of Abbas talks about Tanina. There are sukkahs that talk about Tanina. The idea that Beis Din goes up to bat for somebody who's not around is recorded in halacha. We know that's a fact. What's wrong with Tanina and Mezuyah? The principle of Tanina means any Tanina that you could have advanced, if you're not around, and you're under Bar Mitzvah, whatever it is, we're going to advance on your behalf. Could you have advanced the Tanina and Mezuyah? Yes, those are Mishnayos. Of course you can advance Tanina, you can advance Mezuyah. So what is wrong with the equation? Those who started out by saying, of course. Then they said, not so of course, not so sure. And they never explained to you conceptually what they're hesitating about. What is it about Tainus Mezuyah that possibly doesn't lend itself to the Sugya of Tainus? That's the question that's left unclear in Tosfos. So what is unclear in Tosfos and our sugya appears in the Tosfos HaRosh. There are multiple Balei Tosfos. We have on our sugya in Maseches Gittin, we have another set of Tosfos written by the Tosfos HaRosh, which quotes a little bit more to the sugya, actually a little bit of a line or two that doesn't appear in our Tosfos. So Tosfos of the third of the Rambam comes in the Tosfos HaRosh. Tosfos fills in the missing piece in the bowl of the letters. Umilsa delo shchiach lo taninim hu yisaymin. Tosfos tells you what the missing piece of the puzzle is. Taninon, says Tosfos, has to be realistic. It has to be something that we're fairly confident could have taken place. Mezuyof is very, very rare. People forge documents. I'm not going to comment today. People say by the forged document. If it happens, that's why we have the system of Kim Shara. That's why we have Titus Mezuyof. We do accept it as a possibility. But to say that it's a probability, to say that it's commonplace, that people are forging documents, it's so unlikely. And therefore, it falls under the category of a milsa de lo shchicha. Titus develops the yisod, milsa de lo shchiach, lo taninan. We will only say Tanirim that's something that we believe sounds plausible. Something that seems so far-fetched, there's no Tanirim. How did Tosfos and HaRosh know that? They put the piece of the puzzle together. They said, we seem to have hesitation. There seem to be Gemaras that are ignoring Tanirim on Mezuyof. It must be that's the reason why. So now we have a fundamental question. What's going on behind the scenes of our Mishnah? We know by a get we're not doing that. That's Poshut. That's the mission. Yesh Dolorim. Bli Orim, Kodim, Shemboa Orim. Nobody's going up to bat to claim this get is Mezuyof. Why not? It's one of two possibilities. Either because we never claim Shtaros or Mezuyof. That's not our job. Basin's job is not to question authenticity of Shtaros. If the other party questions it, then we're going to take his word and we're going to require King Shtaros. Basin doesn't do Tanina Mezuyof. It's a Milsul Shicha. That's one approach. Or the other approach is, I don't know, we do it. We have no qualms, we have no hesitations doing Tanim and Mosul Shlecha. But by Gittin, we're not running to do that. By Gittin, we're not going to go rooted for the world. We're not going to go across the palms of the world. We're not going to stir the pot when there's no reason to do so. So Tosfos leaves us hanging between the Tosfos of Gittin and Tosfos of Rosh and Gittin. Within this new halachic principle called Taninon, is there a cloud called Taninon and Mosul Shlecha? It's open mentorship tomorrow. We have to elaborate on the Tosfos. Much more want to add on to Tosfos, why we should or should not take Taninon, both the moments of the
I believe the Shriyas, but the Shriyas is not going to